It's time to raise up. Join us for a powerful episode where Charlie sits down with Athena to unpack personal stories of leadership wins, missteps, and the lessons that fuel real growth. Whether you're leading a team or building your career, these insights will inspire you to navigate leadership with confidence and resilience. Let's get started.
Welcome to the Raise Up Podcast, episode 2.
Yeah,
no, we're back. Actually, it's episode
1.
Season 2.
Yes, season
episode
2. Number 2.
Yes, okay.
Sorry, it was so long for our season. Really busy right now.
Yeah, so we're back, and we've got some interesting questions. So thank you for joining us. And for those of you who are new to the podcast, we are just two entrepreneur business owners who are looking to share what we've learned over 3 decades of being in the fishbowl. So
yeah, three decades plus.
Yeah.
Almost 4.
So the content is all geared around making your lives easier and sharing the information that we have so painfully learned in some cases.
You know, and so many people were so helpful to us when we were coming up that we want to just give back. So understandably that, you know, this is us giving back to you guys too and making things easier for you.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we're going to jump right into these questions. First question I have is, tell us about a time when you thought you were making a great management decision, but it totally backfired. And what did you learn from it?
Well, I mean, you know, I think some of our greatest strengths are the people that we hire in here and some of the people that we have. And sometimes we think longevity, things like that, people have been around a lot longer, are great picks for who we should be promoting. Because, of course, we always want to promote within when we can, because the whole idea is to raise up. You know, we want to raise people up to the there. But sometimes I think we've fallen short, or we've expected more from a person than they were actually capabilities we're doing. So I think some of the ones that we made in decisions was hiring a person that we thought we could groom into the position and put it in there when maybe some of those skills were not exactly there. Like the guy's a great guy. He shows up on time. He's great at his job, what he does. But then putting him in a management role might be a little bit different than it is him being the employer role. Yeah. And some of those things that like work into is like when you start to do a management role, you're company-wide taking care of everybody, not just yourself as an employee. And so a lot of the ones that come in there sometimes just for thoughts is like, well, what about this for the employee? What about this for the employee? Great that you're standing for the employee, but the company has to come first where we're at. And then we branch that out to the employees. And I think sometimes we've brought in some people up that might have not been that management material that we should have in that very much time. But as we lost somebody or something happened, they were the best available option at the time. So we thought we could room it in there. So now it's putting the right person in the right seat, not trying to put them. Don't put the captain in the co-pilot seat. Don't put the co-pilot in the captain's seat. You got to make sure the seat is the right seat for them. And it doesn't mean that you have to lose that person. It might just mean that you put them in a different position within the company. And it might not be in the management style. It might not be in a customer service area. It might not be in the mechanics area. It might not be in the driver role. Find the best role. If they're a great employee or something that's good, put them in a role that they're going to succeed. It's going to be the best for them and the best for the company.
You know, one team member in particular that comes to mind is Walter Brown. He absolutely excelled at driving that mobile ad truck. He could do the regular route day in and day out. It's the same route every single time for 8 hours a day. And he loved it. And we never had any drama around whatever was going on with Walter. But now you take somebody like Walter and you move him to a fast pace, like changing
crew transportation, something like that.
And he wouldn't have been a good fit for that.
No, because he liked to be on his own. And Walter had a system where he would see people at the same times at the bus stops because we had a route in the system and he would know what happens in this time. So it's a great example.
So I would say,
I didn't think we were using names though. I thought we were leaving names out.
Yeah. That was a great example of somebody who just really excelled in their role in a particular job.
Yeah, no, he did a great job for us and he was with us for quite a few years and embedded it. So
yeah,
I mean,
we were grateful.
And there's always seasons of things that change. And listen, and some of the things that are differently in that is like, if a person's not ready for change and put in your team and you're in an innovative company that's always looking for the best thing to change your company and make it even better, that's another reason why you look for the right person in the right seat.
Absolutely. And I think here the lesson is we're promoting, we're always looking for alignment And when you get the sense that this isn't aligned, then listen to that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
100%. I mean, if your tuition on your back corner is telling you this is probably not a good fit, then you probably should listen to that tuition. I mean, if you don't understand it, then talk to your partner. If you don't have a partner, then talk to your team and, you know, get a collaboration of what it is. You know, ask these people, because these are the people that are going to have to work with this. This is your management team. So you definitely want to have some input from those guys of what's there. And I tell you, I'm going to be one of the accepted. There's some people that they're like, hey, we really want to promote this person. I'm like, oh, you know, I don't know if this is the right person. And, you know, and I'd say 50 or 60% of the time, they were 100% correct. And then 50 or 60% of the time, there's too many percentages there. I was correct. But we ran the experiment. After you run enough experiments, you realize you don't have to run that experiment anymore. Yeah. Like we've already gone down that road.
Yes, absolutely. So here's another one. So describe a moment when your team truly rallied behind you, and what did you do differently as a leader that made it work?
Well, I mean, the number one comes to me is COVID. COVID was such a devastation to our industry and to a lot of companies out there. And nobody expected this to happen. And I can speak for myself and Athena, but I've talked about this several times. When we had this and things were canceling left and right, and airport contracts and crew transportation and bookings and hotels and everything was just going there, we had some knee-jerk reactions like, oh my God, we have to do this, this, and this.
Well, and it was not reactions. It was more like thoughts, right?
Well, let me rephrase that. We could have had some knee-jerk reactions on this, and our first thoughts were to do this. And then after we thought and sat about it, we were sitting pretty well. We were a company that wasn't financially strained by any means. We didn't have a lot of loans on things. We owned most everything we did. And we calmly sat down and thought, let's give this to 24 to 48 hours before we make any knee-jerk reactions, instead of just, because everybody in our industry, you know, we belong to 20 groups and did this, and they were just laying off people, cutting funds, doing this, trying to get out of leases, trying to get out of panicking. And I said, we're not that company. I mean, and I say that now because I can really truly look back and say that we weren't that company that did that. We embraced it and looked and see how we could do it. And when I tell you that the employees rallied behind it, people had purchased homes, new cars, new things like this. And they were like, am I going to have a job tomorrow? And they saw the devastation it hit throughout the tourism industry, throughout our entire industry in Alaska. It was a very there. And I can tell you that one of the things that they rallied behind us is like, we embraced it. We looked at it. We had just started a medical ambulance field that was right during that time. So we had medical experts that were in there. We called to the state of Alaska and we had some of them come and reassure us about what was going on with COVID. And we made our employees feel like they were valued, that they were important, that we weren't going to make that knee jerk reaction.
That they were safe.
And that they were safe. And I can tell you, for the one or two great years we had of that, and don't get me wrong, we have great employees. We saw the gratitude of employees that we had never seen ever before. And when I tell you that, people were thankful to come to work. They were happy. They were telling their friends to come work for us. The hiring spree that we had on that. And you could see I light up about this because you could just see on how well people came to be by our side with it. Even though this was a virus that was deemed deadly, that was in, and it was for so many people, but we were willing to take the precautions for them. We got them the proper equipment. We got them the proper training. We bought the proper equipment to do it. We partnered up with hotels. We partnered up with other companies that were taking care of sick and injured patients, not injured, more sick patients. And we teamed up with them and gave them the proper things. And we were like, we leaded that part of our industry. And when I tell you that, when we were talking to people throughout our industry, there's a handful of other people that were doing our industries, but some people couldn't make that pivot. Some people couldn't make that change. And I think still now we have some employees that were from that time in the COVID that still look at that and thought, we didn't lose it. We didn't lose our house. We didn't put ourselves into a panic. They didn't have to go on unemployment, things like that. We were like the only company that in our industry that I knew that was really hiring in there. And they really founded that. And I think that was one of the most positive things that our teams were behind us. And of course, our teams are always behind us when we're giving raises and things like that, because that's always a pivotal money too, that they think that we make great decisions there too.
Really right behind us.
Yeah. When we put insurance, we did 401k. I mean, we're always looking at how we can improve things. But one of the biggest pivots would be, I think, where they were just 110% behind us was the COVID area. So I can only think of that as there. And, you know, I can only think in our lifetime, I never thought we would see a pandemic like that when you talk to our grandparents or our parents or things like that, what happened during those times. But it happened in our lifetime. And You know, again, the takeaway on this is don't have that knee-jerk reaction. Look at it. Look at where you're at. Get your team. If you don't have a team members and you don't, find some people that have been through something like this and get great advice. I mean, that's only going to be the thing. It's hard to let your team go and then try to get them back or try to go and find a new team to run your operation that you have now. It's a very big lift.
Yeah. And I would say the overarching lesson is it starts with you. You have to be able to hold the space so that they can get the regulation that they need to hold space for those around them. And I assure you that the outcome would have looked differently if we had freaked out and acted crazy and panicked and all of these things, but we were holding the space in our organization that calmed them. And then we were able to like receive the opportunities that were before us.
And please understand, if you're affected by COVID, we are not judging anybody by means. Everybody has their way of dealing with things. So this is just the way that we did it. And to answer the question was that where our team really rallied behind us was this. So please understand, if you were affected by COVID or something happened with your company or things like this, we're not judging or it's saying that you did it incorrectly. This is just a question that we had, the path that we took and where our employees really rallied behind us. And I just want to make sure that's very clear.
Yeah. Well, okay. So next question.
Oh no.
What's one hiring decision you regret?
I'm going to let you lead off with this one.
And how would you handle it differently now?
I'm going to let you lead off this one. I took the first two on the first. So, I mean, what's your opinion on this? I think we've talked about these questions a little bit and how we could do it. So why don't you tell me your best
scenarios? Well, we've talked about this question over the years. We're not doing that again.
It's a 25-year decision. Let me tell you. So every year we look at these and a lot of decisions to make. You know, when you're running over 250-plus employees and you're running over 110, 120 pieces of iron, there's always a action plan and there's a reaction plan. And we're always looking at, did we make the decision? But why don't you start off with this one?
Yeah, so what comes to my mind is being in an interview or making a hiring decision after the interview has happened and something is off. Like you can feel it, you can't put your finger on it, but you know something is off. And I can tell you when that comes up and I don't listen to it or I hadn't listened to it in the past, I pretty much listen to it 100% of the time now. But when I didn't listen to that little voice saying, don't do it, I shouldn't have done it.
So I know the person that she's speaking of and
well, there's many, but
she or he, but let me tell you that your resume does not build who you are. Mm. So let me understand. So some people we've hired because they had a great resume. They interviewed fairly well. There's things like this, but she said it. I think I said it earlier. If there's a little voice telling you this is not a good fit and you really think about it, talk to your partner, talk to your business partner. My wife is my partner. So talk to somebody and then rally around the team and then rally around the people that they worked with. You know, not do the basic questions, you know, like, hey, are they rehireable or whatever this. Find some trusted people that you know that saying, hey, you know, you've worked with this person. You're not employed by her. She wasn't employed by you or he wasn't employed by you. What is your decision behind this? What would you do? Would you look at this and, you know, find out what that is and do your research on this. It pretty major things when we're doing those bigger decisions. And, you know, the management, again, as Athena said, they're working off your energy. So if your energy is not good, their energy is not good.
If
it's not going to be good.
If you have a hesitant energy about you around a situation, they're picking up on it, whether you're saying it or trying to fake it till you make it or whatever. Like it's a real thing.
It's tough. As business owners, you guys know that we have highs and lows too. And so we have to come here with the best we can give to our people because when they're not, I guess they feel that energy too. So when hiring in this question, somebody in the management team or making a decision on something that we shouldn't have or we had doubts on, you know, go with those. So you are your best person that is going to make those best decisions. And, you know, just because that seat's open doesn't mean that's the person right for the seat. It could be the person that totally makes the bad seat and it could hurt your company. It could devastate it. And, you know, as business owners, we're always looking to how we can further it and do it. And, you know, once you burn that bridge, it's a little tough to get that bridge back. I completely agree.
Scorching the bridge.
Yeah. And there's other people that we've had those ones. You know, another one is if you hired a manager once don't rehire them again. You know, I mean, like thinking something changed within 6 or 8 months that they have this epiphany that everything's going to be much better. I mean, there's another person that we had hired and we re-talked to him and said, hey, that this was maybe we were just both in there. And when we came back and re-put it back to the things, it seemed good for the first month or two. And then it just went back to those old habits. So you have to realize where your strengths and weaknesses are. And if you're not good at that strength, maybe find somebody that's really good at that. And it helps you with those decision makings. But
a trusted counselor, coach, confidant,
friend, you know, family member, anybody that you think that has a solid mind on it. Remember, we sometimes get caught up in the bumpers. You know, we look at the day-to-day things that are going on there and we really can't be this way. We really got to be a 180 looking at the whole entire direction. And sometimes when you can't, that's when you go to somebody else and just ask them, you know, hey, am I off rail or, you know, am I on point, you know?
And that's why it's so important to be in a feedback loop with people that you trust, because if you don't have the feedback coming back to you, then you just think you have all the answers. And I can't tell you how many times just having even the deep feedback loops, like we have loops, and Charlie has shown me things when I have just been open and able to receive that I would have never saw for myself. And he's like, well, let me tell you what I see. And I walk away from those moments just with more gratitude and like a deeper understanding of the situation than I ever would have been charging up the mountain with the flag in my hand.
So my intentions never hurt her. Maybe sometimes my actions or words might not be the best one, there it is, but my intention is not to hurt her or her company. I just kind of, I'm going to see it, play it, and how it is. And I appreciate the feedbacks. If you're not in a peer group within people in your industry or similar type people, if your personality or things that are going to give you great advice, then you are
missing out.
Yeah.
Just missing out.
100%. It's harder for you to get to that next level if you don't have people around you in that level that are in your level or higher. And don't get me wrong, having some people a little bit that are not same level, sometimes have great advice too. And if you're not in a 2020 group, again, you're losing out. Peer groups, 2020 groups.
Mastermind groups.
I mean, if you're not looking for that higher education and what somebody you're doing, then you're not. Because I'll use spinning wheels as a part. We were part of that for quite some time in the knowledge in the group and the people in there. I mean, they've been through it or they saw it or somebody had a contract that already did that or they had a policy or procedure. I mean, it was so easy to go to those because none of us were competing with each other. So it was a very solid group to be on. And Becky, yes, you're welcome for us mentioning your company now. And then, you know.
Keep in mind, though, it's... you're probably in survival mode if you're telling yourself, I can't afford this or I don't have time to do it.
That is a limited belief of yourself. And when I say that is, I don't know how many friends that we've had that have companies where like, hey, let's go do this. He's like, oh, I can't afford it. I can't take off. If I leave the company, it just won't go well. If you're in that survival mode, that you already have other problems that are way past that. You must do this probably more than the other people do it. And you probably have the wrong people in the wrong seat again. As we talk about the right seats and the wrong seats, if you can't leave your company for 3 days and go somewhere to get higher education, things like this.
Or perspective.
Yeah. It's struggling. And don't get me wrong. Every company doesn't start off with a CEO and a CFO and all these other companies. You're a one or two man company and it needs all one or two of those people to run the company. I completely understand, but you have to have downtime and you have to have times that you're going to be able to do it and you'll have a burnout rate. And if you want to get to those next levels, you know, levels 1, 2, 3, 4, up to 10, say 10 is your highest level you're ever going to go. You're going to struggle to get past those 1 or 2 or 3 levels if you have that mindset.
Absolutely. And it's something that we all have to learn when we're grassroots entrepreneurs is it's like how do we, it comes to a place where you start to see that you're in survival mode. You see that the hours that you're working is not sustainable. And you start to like wake up to this idea of actually, this is not what I prefer. And some of us, it takes a long time of being in that loop to see it. And others, not so much.
I'm one of those. I mean, look, it took me a long time to figure out We're celebrating, as of 2025, 25 years of Bach Transportation, BAC. It started off at BAC Limousine, and then we went into a full transportation company, but we're 25 years into it. And that's not my entrepreneurial. I mean, I own lawn maintenance companies. I own landscaping companies. I own painting companies. I even owned ice cream trucks. Listen, I mean, I tried to figure out what my role was and where we're at, and we landed in a good position. But it took a long time. When Athena says 30 years, that didn't even touch it. I'm 35, 37, 38 years in entrepreneurial, and we're in a now position that we're in a good position. I love when we talk to people that saw us that we started in the beginning, because you know, we were 2 6 passenger limos and old tick-tick limo or tick-tick bus, you know. And you know, now you know where we're at now, and we're in Anchorage, Alaska. You know, and when people look at that and see our population is 280,000 plus, or we have less than 800,000 people in the state of Alaska, and where we're at now, people are amazed. I mean, it is. It's not patting myself on the back, just knowing where we came from and where we're at now is a huge difference. But we didn't have those tools then, and we didn't have as many people telling us that then. So
yeah, it took years and years and years of mastermind groups, 20 groups, workshops, lessons, book after book after book. Like, you don't have to learn it the hard way, but you're free to do that if you would like. We're hoping that you're hearing our message and it's hitting some points that actually, yeah.
You know, we're doing this again because there were some people that invested in us and did some time in this. And as Athena and I have joined boards and been on boards of directors and done things and helped with other people, it's giving back. It's 100% giving back to the community and to other entrepreneurs and things like this. And, you know, it's funny is I was, today I didn't think I was going to really want to do it because we had so much going on. You know, we started an STR business and some other things that are going on. I was like, Athena, today, a podcast. But, you know, I kind of forgot how much fun we have doing these things because we're telling our story. And if you know a lot of entrepreneurs, they want to tell their story because it is a thing that it kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? It resonates with you. You get to tell about where you started and where you're at. You had pitfalls, you had successes, you had wins, you have all these different things, but this is us now be able to give back to the people there is. And, you know, I love firing EMS and, you know, I love to keep my EMS license up because it's a thing I can give back. I love doing that stuff. So if you love what you're doing, you're not working. And I know that we've heard that many times before, but this part is a little more fun than I remembered. And we took some time off from the season, so I'm kind of glad we're back into it. And today's a little bit, I'm glad we did it today. So
yeah, I'm glad. Absolutely. Joseph, you need to switch. We're in the middle of the question.
No.
Okay.
He said he was going to come in at the 30-minute period, so we're 45 minutes into it. Go ahead.
Well, this is a great segment into the next question, because the next question is, have you ever had to separate yourself from some part of the business?
So I had to switch that word separate because somebody had to fire yourself. And I had the resistance to some changes that when we were growing. And, you know, there was always, as a business owner, you know that you think you're the one that knows it all and know that. Greater minds have told us that is not true, you know, that more minds than your own are better than that. So when I've had to separate, like one of the things that comes to my mind is like, I used to book all the drivers on the trips, and, you know, we were a lot less and it wasn't our crew contracts, you know, when we were doing 200 trips a day, it was the contracts for private charters, motor coaches, buses, SUVs, delegates, whatever we had coming in, VIPs, things like that. Cause I felt I knew the best driver for the best trip. And I did that, but I tied myself to it all the time. And then I would start doing this, and then, you know, all of a sudden you're getting 20 trips, or, you know, when you suddenly get 15 or 20 trips a day, and then all of a sudden you're 50 or 75. Now you're scrambling. Now we have a combination of drivers. We have crew contract drivers, and then we have contract drivers, and we have a leveling system, how they have to meet these qualifications to be able to do both. So I laugh in that because now I look at the grid and I'm great at looking at the grid and freeing up vehicles and doing stuff like that. And they haven't asked me a long time to do that, but I'm so glad that I gave that up. And what was the word we're using? Not fired, but we are
separated
myself. And then I learned just to separate myself more and more.
It was like a wildfire.
Yeah, it was like, shit, man, I don't need to do all this stuff. What am I doing? And then my wife's taking a part of this. So I'm like, oh, this is not a bad deal. You know? you know, 25 years into it, know your lane. You know, like if you're not a technology person, don't put yourself on the technology team. You know, don't, if you're not a person that is a good writer, don't write things, you know. Thank the Lord for AI, but you know, if you guys notice my Facebook posts and everything else are way better. If you want to look at 2 or 3 years ago, you'll see misspellings and punctuations and stuff like this, but know your lane. Just know where you're at. You know, I'm a good innovator. I'm a good people person. I'm a great networker. I'm great at those things. But yeah, you know, you put me in the office. If you notice that Athena and myself, we don't have per se offices. She has a laptop. If I can't do it on my iPad or my iPhone, it's probably not going to happen. I'm going to have somebody else do it. But you know, it's funny. I'll get some of our friends. I'm going to use a name. JR. JR is like, you don't know how to enter a reservation? Air Gaza from Diamond Limousine. And I'm like, JR, I have a whole team of SCSAs to do this. If I put in a reservation, we are in trouble because I'm not going to do it efficiently. I'm going to probably forget something. I'm not going to do it. But
you're
back
not
in the day,
the processes either.
Yeah, no. Mean. And yeah. Then back in the day, but when before we have Limo Anywhere, I remember, was it Limo Wiz we had or whatever it was? Because I remember entering those reservations, putting those things in, and I'm like, oh, this is time consuming. I'm not a typer. You know, I type 7 words a minute. You know? So know where you're at. So it's not worth it. It's just, listen, if you're not that person, hire somebody. The money that you think you're spending to do it is well worth it. Like, if you're not an accountant, don't all of a sudden start doing payroll and start, you know, because you can get yourself in trouble down the line. So anyways, where I had to separate myself from doing something is those areas. And that was one of the biggest areas, I can tell you. So,
yeah, you know, and I think really what we're still talking about is alignment. If you're feeling resistance in a certain task, then you're not in alignment with that task. And just if you can at all like avoid doing it, then just end the madness. Don't do it. Have somebody help you with it. So
again, if you think you can't afford it, it's you that's doing that. It's really in yourself. You can hire a fractional CFO. You can hire a person that's going to take care of hiring for you and doing things like this. If it's not your forte and you just keep failing at it, look at it and say, how can I change it?
And honestly, like, private message us. We might have already solved the situation that you're dealing with that you're like, I just don't see how I could delegate this. Well, there's probably a really quick 4-step process to, hey, well, this is what we did, and this kind of like cut the leash and on that aspect. Or these are the things you need to consider when you're making a shift to this different technology piece. Or we have very much been a company of innovation and have leveraged technology in so many directions.
And look, if we don't, we probably know somebody that does know the answer.
Absolutely.
And I mean, that's the network of people that we have. Business leaders in this region, I mean, we
in
know.
In this planet. Like,
yeah. It, throughout the United States, you know, we're stronger in Alaska than we are anywhere else, but we do have partners everywhere else that are too. So it's nice to be able to call one of our friends that owns a massive business or whatever else it is and say, hey, what do you guys do on this podcast? What's you guys do? Because we all didn't come with a business 909 education. You know, we had to take ourselves to there. So we had to learn how to make those steps, and we did it by partnerships. I mean, we have friends that call us and say, hey, what phone system are you using? What VoIP system are you using? What's your software? You know, how do you do this? What are you guys using for chemicals? I mean, we ask questions for this all the time because sometimes we don't know the answer, but somebody else has already had a proven success with it. So why don't we use that as a trusted business member within our community?
We need to switch. How much more time? Because we got about like 15 minutes.
No, you guys are good.
We're okay. Good to go through the whole thing?
Yeah, okay. Just go all
the way. All right, then I won't ask again. Okay, well, alignment, alignment, alignment. All right, so next question here is, there a time when you trusted your gut in a leadership moment? Was it a win or a mistake? And how did that shape your management style? So for me, something that stands out is there's a couple pieces. There's been moments where we've had to do a pretty substantial rate increase. And of course, anytime you're looking at moving your prices up in a substantial way, there's a risk that your client could say, that's not going to work for me, and we're not going to be able to do business.
Yeah, I felt that's a scarcity mindset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But part of it is because this is a new area. And this is, again, why we need each other, to remind each other of these things, that this is what you need to do in order to be sustainable. And if you don't make this price shift, then your profitability is going to drop below the percentage that you said you wanted to work within. And so you've already made the decision that this is the profitability that you're going to stay in. Now you need to follow the actions behind it. And it can feel a little like panicky at first when you're realizing, oh my gosh, things have changed so much that we've got to increase by 20% or 30%. And so that's one area where we did do it. And just, again, holding the space, sending the email. Another area was, you had mentioned before, adding a fuel surcharge in a time when fuel was rising and rising and rising, and we didn't know where it was going to top off at, and we had to react because the prices that we had set with our customers were when fuel was this price. Now fuel is this price, the fuel surcharge.
Again, your profitability. I mean, knowing where you're at. Athena talked about, you know, rising costs for your employee, your vendors and stuff like this. Listen, all of us can go get a job. And you don't want to work yourself into a job. You want to work yourself into a
company. We don't want to own our job.
Yeah. And a lot of companies, you know, they look at, oh yeah, I took in $2 million last year, but what was your profit margin on that? You know, if you only took in $60,000 at your profit margin at $2 million, what is your percentages? You know, you're at a 3% margin. I mean, you want to make sure that you're making the amount of money that you need to, because it's your time. One thing that we cannot buy back is time. And so we are trading time for assets, for money, for pleasure, for family, whatever your reason is doing it there. But if you're not getting your ROI on it, then why are you doing it? So again, when you have to make those increases to it, you have to be firm. Listen, I mean, we have other companies that we do business with that they raise their prices and we're like, oh, you know, it's wild, up by 15 or 20%. But as you guys know, nothing is getting cheaper. You go to the store and, you know, your $100 does not buy the $100 of groceries it did 5 years ago.
No.
And when you're buying things, you have to look at that. Vehicles in our industry, you know, they've gone up 15, 20, 30, 40%. And they still are skyrocketing. And I don't think they're building them any better these days. Nope. I feel like we're having more problems with it. You go back to the old town cars, you go back to the old Escalades and the old Suburbans. Those things were 200,000 or 300,000 miles before you had to do some major things to them. And now you're getting to these vehicles that are having problems at 70,000 or 80,000 miles, and we can't get parts for them. We can't do this stuff. So when you're pricing your points for this stuff, as Athena was saying, we have to be profitable, or we have to be able to have extras of things that we can do to make those contracts work. And when you're looking at your profitability margin, it's got to be at that point. If it's not, and you are just taking yourself to the ground, you're not doing yourself a service, or you're doing yourself a disservice, and then you're missing the opportunities of where you could have made that money in those profit margins. So like, you know, there's some contracts that we've like said, listen, if we can't make this, I'm sorry. Thank you for the 5 years we've had with you. It has been great. But if we don't come to this arrangement where it's good for you and good for us, and it has to be good for us, we're okay with separating. We're okay with that job being gone, because there'll be another opportunity that comes up. You just have to have your 180 open, not your 20% just sitting this way and like, I got to have this job, I got to have this contract. If you don't open up your prospects and what you can do, you're missing on maybe a 25 or 30% margin contract that you could have that is going to yield that. And then you might just think, wow, what am I doing in this field? Why am I taking care of this type of customer that is giving me a very small percentage on it?
And likely, if it's a small percentage customer, it's a big percentage headache customer. And so if you're getting resistance, not just in the money piece, but you're probably getting resistance in other operational pieces while serving the deliverables. And as somebody who is in a top leadership of an organization, we need to be very mindful of what we're allowing within that headspace.
Athena talked about fuel surcharge. I remember looking at that. I thought we really had to move forward with that. And I think we both decided on that. And I think the first time, I'm not sure it was a 5% or 10% that we raised it up. And,
I think
and
it was 10.
Yeah, 10. And I remember had some, you know, you're talking about telling people now that it was, but you know what, it was our own mindset. And I'm going to let you guys know right up front. It was like us. Like you go to California, and I'm going to pick on California, there is a tax for everything. I remember renting a GLC or GLA or whatever it was. It was a nice little Mercedes car. You know, I got it from Six Rent a Car, and I'm like, $34 a day? Are you kidding me? I mean, in San Francisco, $192 later, leaving the place with the surtaxes, the airport taxes, the tourism tax, everything else like this, there is a fee for every single thing. And you know, one of the beautiful things about Alaska is we have no taxes up here. So when I say no taxes, we have some taxes for tourism tax. We have zero sales tax. So when people are paying $200 for a transfer, they, you know, they're expecting a 5 or 6% transfer. I'm like, tax, and there's no tax on that. So what I felt like is we were doing ourselves a disservice because, again, when fuel started off at $3 or $2.98 a gallon and jumped up to $4.20 a gallon, how do you predict what's going to go on with wars or trade agreements or whatever else is, and you start doubling your fuel costs? I mean, you know, on a good week, we could be anywhere from $8,000 to $20,000 of fuel a week. So when you start to double that, you're like, wow, you know, now your profitability margins go way down. So we introduced that. So, you know, in some of our contracts, we had a floating price. And to tell you how we kind of get it, we said, oh, we're 10%, now we're 15%, 18%. And then we said, listen, if fuel goes up, we're going to go up. If fuels go down, we'll bring the price back down. So we kind of did this like floating float that if everything went up, we were going to be able to make sure that we're still making our margins. We were going to hold them to the food of the fire. If fuel went up to $5 a gallon, we were at a 22% fuel surcharge, but then it went back down to $3 because we made this great deal with OPEC. Then we're going to go back down to do the $2.50. They still weren't paying that 23% charges. You know, so we were have that going there. So again, learning, talking to people in the industry, figuring out where it was at and how other people are doing it. And then again, I feel like, you know, we tried to be leaders in some of this stuff too. So when people started seeing us and seeing that the pushback, there was a lot of discussion in our 2020 groups and other people were doing it and we were learning from them. They were learning from us. And you know, that's the whole idea of being in peer groups and 20 groups.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of that though was go ahead. Let's see what happens. Let's see what you guys.
Yeah. You know, and right. Then once you see success in things, everybody wants to jump on the bandwagon. I'll take airlines for instances. When you have airlines and they're like, well, let's see how that other person does on that route. And then all of a sudden they do super good. And they're like, well, that's a great idea. Let's take that route too. And, you know, and then you have price wars and you have other things going on, but there's some leaders in the industry that will go ahead and say, no, we make sense. The optics look good. The numbers look good. It's, we're going to go ahead and make this thing. And we're going to try it for a year. And then, you know, once they try it and they see it's successful or not, then they pivot which way they need to. We're constantly pivoting. We're figuring out which way works and which way doesn't. And then when you're running your numbers, you kind of figure that out.
So Charlie mentioned running your numbers. That's another aspect of having the information that you need at your fingertips, not just running your business from your checking account. If you have money in your checking account, then you're good.
How long ago did we do that? I mean, that was a long time ago.
It's about really understanding what are your expenses, what's flowing up and down. And when you see that, you know, oh, we're doing quite well this month, or we're not doing so hot.
Yeah, you look at your...
And you shift.
Year over year sales, there's lots of different ways you can look at it. Look at your profitabilities, where then, what you're doing, what your management fees are. I mean, there's always ways to look at there. And you could skew your numbers any way you want to. If you look at year after year, don't change the way you look at it from 2024 to 2025. I mean, you've got to have comparisons that you're looking at that and making sure it's the correct way so you guys know where your margins are at. And then your vehicles and your purchases. Well, there's so much into what we do and how we do it and where we learn things. It's just there. I mean, it's just, it's kind of mind-boggling sometimes. It's kind of fun to talk about it because it's like a release.
All of it is like, it's so fun because I don't look at it like it's work at all. We come to the office. I'm usually here 3 days a week for a portion of the day, and I'm carrying out the meetings that I have face-to-face with team members that report to me, and we're taking care of a few of the things that need to get taken care of, and it's enjoyment, like it's amusement, it's variety, it's all of these things that bring life and bring this like aliveness to life.
Well, and you're investing in people, and we're investing in them and in our own company, and it's neat to see people raise up where they're at and where they come from. And see that somebody came here in a Datsun B210. I'll use some POS car back in the day. But then You know, you see them over 2 years and they bought the home and they bought a brand new truck and, you know, they're having kids, they're having babies. And we have generational people that have worked here with their families. Like, I mean, some of our oldest employees, their daughters started off here and they worked here when they were 14 or 15. And then we have a family member that has, I think almost every one of their family members has worked here.
It's one of their kids.
Yeah. And then we've have generations of different cousins and aunts and family members. And we have some management team that some of their sisters and their and husbands and wives and whatever else that's around here have worked for us part-time or done some stuff with us. And it's just this big family environment that you see there prosper. We have employees that have bought their most expensive motorhome they've ever purchased before. You mean, you look at these different things that you get to hear the enjoyment and the excitement out of it, and you knew that you were part of it. You weren't it, but you were part of that whole dream of making what their dreams are. You know, you get life changes. And, you know, I think that's the more rewarding thing that you have in there. It kind of reminds me of like fire and EMS. It's like you get to see some of the fruits and rewards of what you've done to help that person to recover or get to a point where their success is huge. So anyways, that's the part I enjoy. And me coming in 2-3 days a week, maybe on some days, and some weeks I'll come in 4 or 5 days a week. And it's just, it matters where it needs to be. But again, I'm trying to stay in my lane.
Well, and I think that's really what ties into, you have to know why you're doing this. And for us, we are people of service. We know who we're serving and why we're doing it. And that's why it's not a job to us.
Yeah.
And everybody needs to find their why, and that is what lights them up. So,
you know, we have some people that have gone through some pretty traumatic things lately, and we have tried to be there 110% for them. And we had one of the instances that we went to an event, and we were there to help serve them. We were not there to be guests or whatever else. We were guests, but it was to serve them and what was going on in their lifetime. And picking up tables and picking up food and just, yeah, encouraging, just let them know that we're here for them because they have been here for us 110%. So it's not just your employees, it's your vendors, it's your people that you do business with. It's like, how can you make a difference in that other person's life that has made such a difference in your own?
The impact is like,
that's more some of the reward than it is the money. You know, sometimes that's more of it. You know, more people say you get more out of giving than you get, you know, and I feel like that we are big givers, you know, and we receive sometimes. And sometimes it's tough for us to receive because we feel like we give.
To receive.
I know she does. We'll look at her jewelry box and I'll tell you. So anyways, I hope some of this is information is great for you guys. Like, again, if you have questions, you know, Athena, they can email us, they can talk to us, they can message us how you guys want to.
Send us a private message on Instagram, YouTube, or Facebook.
Yeah, I get a lot of messages on Facebook. Hey, Charlie, I'm doing this. Hey, Charlie, would you meet with me on this? I mean, I'm glad. If I have the time, listen, I will spend the time with you. If it's in my peak season and I don't get back to you right away, just give me a friendly reminder. I would love to help you out and do it. That's the reason we're doing this.
Absolutely. So
if it's technology-driven, face it towards her. If it's something that has to do with that, policies, procedures, put it towards her.
Reach out. At raiseupmindset.com. You can check out season one and hear some of our fun stories from those first 40 episodes. And we look forward to seeing you at the next.
Wow.
This is season two episode.
I know, but it's the
41st. It is your 41st podcast. Wow. That's right. Yes. Wow. And we are also doing something new, the Raise Up Mindset workshop series. So that is something that if you are wanting to get some specific information around business operations or mindset ideas, then check us out there.
It's a great membership. You should really look at that.
All righty. We'll see you next time.
All right, guys. Thank you.